Let's talk about something that might be keeping you up at night. Cybersecurity. According to Vanta's latest State of Trust report, it's the number one concern for UK businesses. That's where Vanta comes in. Whether you're a startup, growing fast, or already established, Vanta can help you get ISO 27001 certified and more without the headaches. And Vanta allows your company to centralize security workflows, complete questionnaires up to 5 times faster, and proactively manage vendor risk to help your team not only get compliant, but stay compliant. Stop stressing over cybersecurity and start focusing on growing your business. For a limited time, our audience gets $1,000 off Vanta at vanta.com/wondery. That's vanta.com/wondery for $1,000 off. Because when it comes to your business, it's not just about keeping the lights on, it's about keeping everything secure.
Make this summer's adventures more extraordinary with Audible. While you're lounging by the pool, tending the garden, or road tripping to your favorite destinations, dive into Atmosphere, the captivating new release from Taylor Jenkins Reid. This Good Morning America book club pick launches readers into the fascinating world of 1980s NASA, where one woman's astronomical dreams collide with unexpected love. With over a million titles to explore, from beach reads to gripping thrillers, Audible transforms summer downtime into an adventure. Remember, there's more to imagine when you listen. Start your perfect summer companion with a 30-day free trial and get your first audiobook free at audible.com/wonderyuk.
Travis fell in love with the perfect woman. Beautiful, understanding, available 24/7. There was just one catch. She wasn't human. Binge all episodes of Flesh and Code early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Well, hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens. I'm Ronnie, and that's Ben over there. Hello, Ben.
Hello, welcome back, my sweet Rondola. How are you?
Thank you. It's so good to see your little face. It's been so horrible spending a whole week speaking to people other than you.
Can you see my face through those Angie K sunglasses?
I can. Yes, I can see your face. I've got so much light on flaring in my face. But yeah, I'm in Angie K sunglasses that a listener gave us because I got my eyelids cut off. I had my eyelids ripped off. And when I tell you the doctor who did it was the hottest fucking guy, I think he messed up one of my eyes and I still could not stare it. And then I went to like the checkup thing where they look at your eye and he was staring into my eyes while we talked. And I was like, I'm in love. And then I was telling my sister and she's like, I think he was staring into your eyes because he's an eye doctor. And I was like, Yeah. So
is he hotter than you with that sexy mustache you're rocking right now?
Yeah, I've got a mustache too. You know, change it up a little bit. Why not?
You're going to have some ladies in the audience and some men as well. They are going to be feeling things, Ronnie. I'm telling you, this is a very sexy look you've got going on. Cool sunglasses, mustache. It's like you got your eyes. It's like Urkel's other like twin came by. What was it? Urkel? Remember? Like Steve Urkel's.
I just got back. You're already putting me in the Urkel pen. Can I have a minute? but yeah, it was really fun. My first little dip into Real Housewives plastic surgery, you know, now I have a whole list of shit. Although it hurt a couple of things. It hurt more than I thought. Like the recovery hurt more than I thought. And the other thing was it didn't really do as much as I thought. I really thought that I was going to come out looking like a different person and I look the same. I mean, I'm not showing you right now cause I'm all bruised up, but I look exactly the same, but I mean, I don't know. It was an experience, I guess.
I think you'll probably notice some differences once it heals up and maybe some swelling goes down. You're going to notice like some subtleties because even the smallest like millimeter of change on someone's face, everyone, you can just notice, you just see it, you know, think about all the times when you're so used to seeing yourself in the mirror. And then when you see yourself, like with proper, like through a camera I mean, admittedly, that's a big difference, but like, it shouldn't be that different, really. But it's like, I look like a monster. You know, I'm like, wait, is this how people see me? I'm used to my mirror version. So like a few millimeters can change everything. So I think once that swelling goes down and everything, you know, we might see some slight changes there.
Well, who knows? I hope it's not like when you're walking on the street and you pass a glass building, you know, like a reflective building, and then you see yourself and you're like, oh my God.
I know.
You know, you're like horrified by yourself. I hope it's not like that. Like I wake up one day and that happened. But anyway, thanks to everybody who came and filled in. You guys did such a good job. You know, we're really lucky doing what we do, A, that we get to do what we do and just sit here and laugh with each other all day. You know, that's so great. And I really do. When I was away for a week, because we had time off before this too for the holiday. And so I've really become so much more appreciative of this gig, but also the friends that we've met along the way, you know, and the people that we can ask to come pitch hit in just like that. And they show up and they do such a good job. I mean, everybody was great. And I've been reading the comments to everybody about everybody who showed up, and you know, we're really lucky to have that. So thank you, everybody.
Yeah, we thank you to our audience for being like a chill audience that like is like did not like make our lives hell by being like, how could you do this? Everyone was very chill. And I want to give a shout out. I'm gonna give a shout out to all our guests right now: Hunter Harris, Diallo Riddle, Amy Phillips, Diamond Cooper, Andrew Puglisi, Eric Williams, Ash and Elena from Morbid, Dylan Hafer, Danny Murphy, and I think that was it, actually. And Kiki Monique for Crappy Hour. So why am I sound like I'm giving an Academy Award thank you acceptance speech?
Because but I really do like want to thank. I don't know why it feels like it, but well, it does. You know,
it was
like,
cool that all these people really kind of dropped everything and like joined us and helped out. So I really appreciate that.
Yeah. Thanks, team.
And go listen to all their respective podcasts and follow them on social media because they're all really great people.
And I know we tend to wander around in recaps anyway and you know, tell little stories in here and this and that. This one's probably going to meander forever. I've missed so much. I can't believe how much
I have
missed.
I have to say, your surgery came at a unique time because you missed the premiere of Orange County, the finale of Love Island, the premiere of... Well, I don't know if it really counts. We did, but the Love Island Beyond the Villa, we didn't really even talk about that. But it was sort of hilarious. I was like, oh no, I feel like Ronnie's gonna like miss so many like big exciting things. But the good news is that like the Orange County premiere was great, but this episode that we're about to recap, I think is even better. The Return of Gretchen. I mean, this was a good one.
Yeah, this was a good one. All right, let's jump into it. Mm-hmm. Let's get into it. Here we are, Real Housewives of Orange County, Season 19, Episode 2, Old Faces, New Places. I cannot believe the Housewives let them get away with a title called Old Faces.
I know. That's a real shocker. It's a real shocker. But they did. They got away with it. Because this is the big Gretchen Returns episode. So you got a milestone in. You didn't miss this milestone. This is a big, I think this is probably the most important milestone of the week. I mean, Love Island finale, whatever. How about this? Why don't we we'll do a quick bonus round with you. Flash judgments or snap judgments, or you just bonus round.
Okay.
You answer this. Okay. Thoughts on the OC premiere?
Decent, but too many old storylines. They need to come up with something fresh. And Tamara, nice try on the Tamara 18.0, but you're still a fucking monster possum on a trash can.
Next. Thoughts on Love Island finale?
Loved the Hoda breakup scene when he wouldn't carry her across the water. I died. I watched it 30 times. And Ace still sucks. I don't care what anybody fucking says.
Thoughts on Stephanie snapping at Lisa and also the Lisa narcissism. I mean, the Alexia narcissism party that was also Greek God themed.
Stephanie's a fucking pipsqueak monster who's fucking some old man for his money. I don't care how many different ways she tries to word it. And I can't wait to make fun of her. She's humorless. So that might be a problem. But I do like her outfits. Narcissism party on brand. Loved it.
Jax has quote unquote quit the valley.
Good. Fuck you, Jax. You fucking abusive piece of shit. I hope they send you on a fucking spaceship with Aaron Fipers into the sun.
Yeah, that's the news that I just read literally 2 minutes right before this. Aaron Pfeiffer's, what a piece of shit.
What
go
a
to hell.
Fucking monster. So yeah, Jax monster. And that guy, send them into the sun. And also, I don't care what anybody says. Janet still sucks. I don't care about her whole redemption thing this week of, oh, poor Janet. I have to look at comments that are like, why is your husband with you? You're such a monster. And it's all because Kristen did it to me. Kristen's so mean to me. She's such a bully. Fuck off, Janet. We hate you because you're you. Okay, I don't need anybody on the internet to tell me you suck. You suck.
Georgia's plan for opening a club on Next Gen New York City.
Bowling. My mother, Rhonda, called this back in the day when we owned Skylane's Bowling Alley. You know, she was the first person in El Paso to come up with Midnight Bowl, and she insisted it would be an amazing club. And now, all these years later, Georgia's going to do it.
Galena kills the chickens in the chicken coop, or tries to.
Galena's a fucking national hero. I love her. I hope she runs for president. If we can vote this rapist and all this other asshole shit that this guy's done in here with his missing Epstein files and all this shit, we can have Galena. Bring Galena in to kill the chickens that deserve it. Like fucking to ginger.
To whatever happened on Below Deck, which is probably not much.
Below Deck was good. I'm really sad that I missed that awful guest, Dawn, because Dawn, she's like, hey, Dawn, hey, Rainbow, you're fucking with me, Rainbow. All the strip club owners. I was kind of sad that I missed that one, I'll be honest.
Atlanta reunion.
They're trying. I can't believe they're doing 3 hours with nothing, but they did a pretty good job. Shamia, you're only proving why your basic ass does not deserve that chair or that spot. I mean, boring. Like, nice girl. Yeah. Boring as hell, though.
Beyond the Villa.
Amazing. At first, I wasn't sure because they barely wear mics. The recording is terrible. All you hear is echoing. But then they started fighting about spray tans and glam, and then I was back in.
And also, shout out to them spending half the episode driving up and down Santa Monica Boulevard. King's Court, which is the hottest of the three?
King's Court, I couldn't take. I'm sure it's good, but I just went through Love Island. I can't take another dating show. I made it halfway through. I don't believe any of those men have trouble getting dates. I do believe they have trouble keeping them because they're douchebags. And that includes you, Tyson. I don't believe Tyson's not a douchebag. And just because he cried in the middle of the episode about how traumatized he was, you know what? You were probably traumatized because you're a douchebag. You're a model. I don't believe that you're not a douchebag, Tyson. Okay. But good luck with your show, King. Ding,
ding, ding, ding, ding, ding. Time's up. Wow, you got it in just in time. Wow, I'm so impressed.
We did it. Thank you. God, that was a whole week of pent up. It's wow. Like Joey Gorga not being able to, you know, pull his pud for a while.
Release the poison. Goes to show. So basically, the fact that we spend about 20 hours a week talking about like these shows, we could also just do it in about 3 minutes. Great to know. We can just show up once a week for 3 minutes.
All right. So last week on Orange County, we had Shannon, of all people, bringing people to a golden door for hippie stuff so they could restart. Shannon, you just yelled at your entire cast of Love Hotel to the point where the host went on a coked out tirade against you online a year after you crashed into your house and melted down about 10 times over Earl the Pearl. I don't know that you're the one to be hosting this event, but I love you for doing it anyway.
Yes, definitely appreciate it. So we left off with them there, and now where we pick up. They are they're going to basically walk into one of those like meditation reflective labyrinths that they actually did in Miraval as well. Or some of them did. I remember Gina did the labyrinth. She's like, I feel bad because I'm lost in the labyrinth.
I feel bad. Is that an I feel bad rinse? Because I feel bad.
I feel bad because I can't find David Bowie in the labyrinth.
Wasn't the labyrinth on that one just like drawn lines in the sand? I don't even think it was like walls or anything. It was just like they drew that like was a much more from the back of a cereal box onto the sand.
I think when people do these things, it's usually just like it's concentric circles. I'm not even sure if it's really a labyrinth. I think you just go around in circles until you sort of get to the center, but it's called a labyrinth. I don't know. I haven't actually been part of it. I haven't done one, but yeah. I do know that usually people cry by the time they get to the end of the labyrinth. So
yeah, I'm not doing the fucking labyrinth. I've seen what happens in labyrinths in movies. Nothing ever good happens in a labyrinth.
Literally nothing. Cause like, that's why cities are grids. because why would we have a labyrinth? I am looking forward to when they inevitably do this on the Valley, and then Janet does it and cries, and we can name the episode Fans Labyrinth. So, by the way, I have to say, I can hear the collective like sigh of relief for you being back, because I don't think people were very happy with the like the not tearing Janet's to shreds element while you were gone. Like, the still talking negatively about her, but not like she's a fucking piece of shit, rotten hell, die under a carpet that's being run over by a truck. Like, if there wasn't that energy, and people were, I can tell people were like, this is not right, bring Ronnie back. So I was like, please let
bring the bully back.
Well, like, get Janet's look,
she's fucking she is
horrible. She is horrible, but I enjoy her horribleness. But a lot of people are not. People are like, no, she's horrible and she's not fun to watch.
Yeah, she's like satanic. She's like satanic secretary, you know, because she's not fun. Like, Satan is at least like fun and creative. I mean, at least in movies and stuff, the way he kills people and like tricks them and stuff like that. So I shouldn't call her Satan, because Satan's more fun. But, you know, just like that evil head secretary who never lets you have more than one of the candies because they're for guests. She's like one of those, you know,
yes,
or like who like looks at your lunch and then tells everybody what you ate, even though you're supposed to be on a diet.
Yeah. By the way, I finally saw Sinners. I've mentioned it on like about three podcasts this week. I just want to let you know that I did finally see it. Just when you mentioned the devil, I thought of, you know, Janet and Sinners.
How did you like Janet's musical number?
When she was on that banjo seducing Haley Seinfeld, I was like, Janet's doing great. Honestly, like, she may be the devil, but she has a beautiful voice. Might be worth it. Let her in. So anyway, they're doing this labyrinth thing, and as they're doing it, we're hearing like flashbacks to last week, because it's kind of like they're doing the labyrinth, but we're also recapping. And we hear like, I want to start over. And like, that girl was attacking me on social media. I have never called her ever. And Katie doing her thing of like, I want to exonerate myself, but I don't have any service here. I'm terribly sorry.
Unfortunately. Yeah. It's too bad. Can't exonerate myself. I don't have service. If you had any receipts in there, you would have them screenshotted just like the rest of us do, Katie. Now here's the thing. We all know Katie's a compulsive liar. You know, Katie's lie. She lies a lot. But I'm still on Team Katie. These women are terrible. And I know that Katie was lying, but you all fucking deserved it. And I don't know how Emily can get off saying, like, how dare you bring my child into this? Oh, by the way, I have a piece of chicken in my purse. I'm wacky. Like, Emily, you know, you're saying don't bring your children into it, but you're bringing your child's eating disorder into it. I'm using that for a storyline. And you brought her custody into it at the reunion, which was really fucking down low of you. That was so mean.
Yes.
What Katie did to her was nothing compared to what she did to Katie. I wish Absolutely Katie would just nothing. Have the stones to be like, fuck you. What you did was way worse. And you owe me an apology, hatchet face. But you have lovely hair.
Yeah. By the way, I have no objections to Emily bringing her son's eating disorder on screen, because I think it's actually very compelling and interesting, and I applaud her for it. But like, I do think, though, you know, sometimes like if you are going to center your child in your storyline, you know, it's just, it feels like you can't call the shots necessarily on that sort of stuff. Like, if you want your child to stay out of harm's way, you really just shouldn't have them really be addressed on the show at all in the first place. It doesn't mean like, oh, well, she brought on herself, but I'm just saying there is like an element of hypocrisy in this as well. And I also agree 100% that I think, yeah, Katie is lying. She's fibbing, but they all do. I mean, hello, look at Tamara. Look at Tamara, who, like, didn't she call the feds on Ryan last year? Or, yes.
Said she did, yes.
Calling up a private investigator or working with Shannon to do that. Like, they all do wretched, wretched things. And I think they're just fully deflecting on their own bad behavior, because they know that Katie is weak and she's a newbie, and that Katie's sloppy. She's a sloppy liar and she's caught in all her lies. So they know they've got fresh blood, and so they're just going after her. But
and also,
what
she did is care. Baby potatoes. Those were baby potatoes. What Katie did. She told some blogger about a story that your nanny retold about your kid saying that you didn't like Heather Dubrow. Oh no, you know, like, oh no. Yeah. I mean, what you did in retaliation was so much fucking worse. And Katie's not even playing on like a master manipulation level. She's just like, my kid really did hear the other kid saying that Emily doesn't like Heather Dubrow. Like, really? You're going to rip the woman apart for that? That's what she did. Yeah. That's her sin. I mean, they're crazy mm-hmm. on the show. They and then crazy. Meanwhile, you've got Tamara running around, like, still doing her thing of like, oh, you brought up my child. I can't believe you brought my child into it. Which we find out is a lie again. Another Tamara lie. And she's bringing her child into it. Her child's been begging her to stop bringing her up on TV. And Tamara's still doing it. So all yeah. of you complaining about bringing children into it when you're the ones bringing your children into it constantly. Quiet down over there.
Quiet also, down. God,
I'm so glad to have this show back.
And I'll tell you one thing. I think Gretchen came back and she came back strong. I'm going to say this yeah. right now. I think Gretchen came back very strongly. I think we were all kind of expecting Gretchen to be kind of a waste of space because she just sort of has become this like spectral, like Instagram presence with like a face tuned face, like a smudge. She's like a smudge. She's like that painting that lady did in that church who tried to fix Jesus's face and turned him into a smudge. That's basically what Gretchen has turned into. So we sort of imagine like that her personality is like this.
Have you ever seen yeah. those clouds where people are like, Jesus, he came back, he's coming out of the clouds. And it's just kind of a smudge of a cloud with like the sun shining through it. That's what she is.
She's yeah. So like, and I think that Gretchen came back with her first season energy because Gretchen's first season was her best. She was really, really so good. And then I think that like as Slade got his claws into her, that she did sort of become more and more generic and less interesting. And they even said that on the show when they had one of those behind the seasons specials, they said that she would start to produce herself and protect herself. And I think that she's now like she's been in timeout for a long time. She doesn't care anymore. I think she's also older and wiser. And she just came back and she's like, I have Tamara's number. I am not fooled by any of this bullshit the way people like, I don't know, Gina and Emily are. And I am not going to let off. And I thought it was refreshing. And I thought she was strident. And like it was a great debut for Gretchen coming back after all these years.
Does her face remind me of a marshmallow in a microwave? Yes. But I loved her coming back with that personality. I was cracking up the whole time. And you know who else she has on her side now? Jesus. She's come back with her full on, like, this is my Trump era. I'm going to say Jesus every other sentence, and I'm just going to go for it. I'm going to make everybody pray at every meal. I mean, you've never met a more self-righteous person than a person like that. Than one of the, and I don't mean a Christian. I mean the self-righteous, like, overly judgmental, like, overly showy religious people. Okay. I grew up with them. I still have them around my life. And let me tell you, the one that's talking about Jesus the most is the one cheating on their taxes or trying to run homeless people down in crosswalks. Yep. Always.
Or both.
Fucking their secretary or whatever else, you know?
Everything.
So I loved it. When she started bringing Jesus into fights, I was like, yes.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
I think Gretchen was great. And in fact, I felt like, you know, Slade really has made my skin crawl for so many years. But I felt like she was like, I feel like every time in the past where Slade and Gretchen appeared on screen, he always does so much tap dancing and like, look at me, camera, that she also would get lost in those scenes. And I think that she outshone Slade. Like at long last, Slade was just a little, he had as much energy and as much attention as Ryan and Matt in the scene that he was in. And that was like very wonderful for me because Slade is, he's too much. He just tries too much and maybe he's just exhausted and he's realized that he just, you know, like he's given up maybe, but I felt like the dynamic between them was better for me as a viewer. And she was great. And,
well, he's got really like that happy. Aging beach boy hair now where he like poofs it up really big. He's got like big hair. And so I like that. And I think the reason his attitude has slightly changed is because for the first time ever, Gretchen and Slade have an army. It's not just them. It used to be them coming for Tamara and standing up to Tamara. But now they've got all these ancillary characters who everybody kind of wrote off, like Jen Padranti. Mm-hmm. No one paid her any mind. They just thought, let's just abuse this blonde idiot, you know? And then they've got this Katie girl who they think they could just abuse. And I think that Gretchen's like, listen, bring me a couple of B-levels and we'll take this shit over. You know, I'm not going to stand for Tamara's bullshit. And guess Jesus won't either. Tamara.
If this feels like some sort of young adult novel or whatever, or maybe like a Game of Thrones thing where it's like they had to resurrect their messianic leader of some sort to go against the big bad. And they were like, they like did their ritual and they resurrected Gretchen. They brought her back. And now she's like their undead hero that's going to go after the undead villain of Tamra. And it's going to be a great clash.
And Tamra like, knows what's coming because she started the season off with her, "Oh, I can't believe it. Everybody's so mean to me. I'm going to therapy now because I got autisticness. And I'm going to do some." It's like, shut up. I mean, it's just so, it's so textbook Tamra. It just fucking cracks me up that that's what she came in with. And it's already crumbled by episode two. It's already
good. No, this season's already just like firing on all cylinders. Because there's so many like, there's so many interesting relationships happening. Because you have Tamra and Shannon are still just trying to like, they're just trying to take swipes with each other. They're trying to gain some sort of like upper hand with each other. And then they just use everyone else as pawns. And then Heather's somewhere in the mix. I don't know where Heather stays in this, but like those two, Tamra and Shannon, are like the central, like underpinning relationship. And anything that Tamra does against Katie is ultimately, it's just in service of unraveling Shannon in some way. And that's what we see on this episode as well.
Yeah.
So anyway, they all set some bullshit intentions on how they want to be better about things, which they don't do at all. And then after all, it's never going to happen. No intention on any Housewives show during any one of these like foofy new age resorts has ever come true.
No.
Maybe Gina's did when she
went to Bali and felt the wind and now I don't want to live in fear anymore. Now I'm not scared.
By the way, Gina's accent, now you've got 10 accents. Like, what is Gina even doing? Like, she's like the Britney of this show, where Britney's just like doing her accent more and more. She's to the point, I don't even know what accent Gina's got anymore. It's not even Long Island anymore. Like, she says her A's like E's. She's like,
"Yeah, well, it was really scary.
Why are you talking like that? Are you from Minnesota and Long Island? Like, what are you mixing together now?"
Gina is looking more and more like she's in some TNT TV show about the mob. I swear to God, not even HBO, not even no, network, just TNT,
not like even TNT Paramount version. Because I just watched Mobland on my break and it was so good. And I'm like, yeah, Gina wouldn't even make that.
She's not on a streamer. No,
no,
she's not on Paramount Plus. She's on TNT.
Yeah. So then Emily is like, "Well, I see only positive things in my life." And Shannon's like,
"Well, I choose to continue on the healthiest path possible right after this Milky Way. I will take a moment."
Well, I mean, it might not be the healthiest path, but it is a path, and it's called the Milky Way. And I choose the Milky Way. I choose that way. Oh, my way or the Milky Way.
Jen is like, "I am strong." And Katie's like, "I am bringing health and positivity." It's like, nope, none of this is happening. So now, after their Golden Door experience comes to a close, we see Shannon driving. She's heading to LAX to pick up Sophie. So she's talking to her on the phone and she's like,
"So, Sophie, how was the flight? Oh, crap. I went the wrong way. Looks like I'm going the wrong way on the highway. Whoops. Sorry about that, everyone. Talking to my daughter. Just having a rough day. That's it.
I can't unset Earl the Pearl's house in Georgia off of my maps. I can't reset it."
And then we get to Jen, and she's working out in her backyard, which is a step up from the parking lot she's usually working out in. So that's good.
Yes.
And, you know, Shanna's having her wacky, like, "Well, I can't find the airport.
Where do I go? I'm wacky. I'm driving around LAX. I'll tell you what's lax. The signage around here."
So then we see Gina at home with her kid. And her kid's like,
"Mommy, the dog pooped, but at least it's not diarrhea this time." She goes, "Yeah, you know what? We're setting a really low bar. We're setting a really low bar."
And then we go back to now Sophie has gotten into Shannon's car, because this is like, it's punctuated. All these things are happening while Shannon's literally picking up Sophie. And so Sophie gets in and Shannon's like, "Oh, hello, look at you. Nice to see you. Now, where do I go? What? Oh, fuck. Oh, no. Oh, my God. I'm driving into the ocean. Oh, Sophie, help us all." She's on the tarmac. She's like Herbie fully loaded.
She's under a Southwest plane.
Like, wait a minute. This overpass is moving.
"Mother, you just parked on a wing."
"Well, I guess we're getting a free flight to somewhere." "Oh, well, where in the world is Matt Lauer?" "Except it's Shannon. We don't talk about Matt Lauer anymore." "Okay.
I have no idea how I got lost and how I have some of these delicious Dijon mustard twisty pretzels." "Thank you, Southwest. Boarding group C. Kiss my cracker."
"Excuse me. Excuse me, there. You were there in the airplane. Do you happen to have a Biscoff cookie you can pass through the window over to our car?
No? Sorry, ma'am. This is Southwest. We don't do that shit here. You can have some dry ass ginger snaps. Okay? It tastes like chemicals.
Also, if we open up the window, the whole plane goes down.
Oh, okay.
It's already on the tarmac, but whatever. I thought this was my front yard.
Oh, okay. We won't have any Biscoffs. How about this? How about we have some Biscons, as in turn on your good attitude? What happened to the customer's always right?
So then we go over to Emily at Shape Shop. Who opened a place called the Shape Shop? Fuck off with
Gina.
That
sounds like such a Gina place. Oh my God, I'm going to go buy a trapezoid. It's like, no, you don't buy shapes there.
And you guys want to go work at a Shape Shop? We can go to Shake Shack after the Shape Shop. Shape Shop. Shape Shop, Shake Shack. Shake Shack, Shape Shop. Shop,
Shape. Do you guys want to go to Chop Stop or Shake Shack after the Shape Shop? Do you guys know? Do you want to go to Stop and Shoppy afterwards?
So we go over to Shape Shop, which is basically a place with these big roller things with, like, I don't know, bumps on them. And then supposedly they roll all over you and then they confuse fashion. Your fat. Are they confusing your fat? What are they doing?
I think it's supposed to be that stuff is supposed to, like, dissolve your fascia. That's like the thing. It looks like it's, you know what that place is like? It's like, have you ever seen a documentary, like how things are made, and you ever see like a factory and you see a conveyor belt? And have you ever said to yourself, you know what I want to do? I want to put my leg at the end of that conveyor belt and see how that feels. That's what the Shape Shop is. It's like, get all the fun of cuddling up on a conveyor belt without having to go to a factory.
Well, I don't really have money now to go to a Shape Shop because I spent it all on my eye. But I will tell you, I do live on a very steep incline with asphalt. So I'm just going to start rolling down that every morning. Mm. I mean, if that's all you need is some bumps to, like, undo your fat, I'll do it. Yeah. But then how does your fat know what to do once it's been dislodged from the... I just don't understand it. I don't believe it's true. Otherwise, everybody would be thin.
Everyone would be. Well, they walk in and the girl who works there, they're like, oh my, they're like, what is this? She goes, it's a full body lymphatic drainage massage. I'm like, okay. What happened to the good old days of just shopping at Zensations, you know?
Like, does anybody really need to be in the room while I'm getting a full body lymphatic drainage massage?
Am I massaging the lymphatic drainage? It's like, oh, look at this, what just drained out of you. Let's touch it and massage it.
Could you imagine going to that with me? I don't even know. It was like 20-year-old dominoes seeping out of my port. I don't even know what the fuck would come out of me. Toxic waste. Nobody needs to be around when that's happening.
Yeah. Disgusting. I just had some Reese sticks. I don't want to see what they look like.
Oh, I had Reese's. I had Reese's minis. Oh, they were so good.
What a delight. So, and we was like, oh, they get all the gummy bears out. Oh, wacky. So they do all this stuff. They're like rubbing up on these like bumpy rolling pins. And then they go to a different room where they do like infrared light therapy and stuff. And they got like their legs wrapped up in those things and stuff. And Gina's like,
to be honest, I thought we were going to be doing this kind of stuff at the Golden Door. So kudos to you, Tamara, because I see that you're really trying with Shannon, by the way.
First of all, save your Yelp reviews for when you actually pay to go to that place next time, because you got to go there for free. So no complaints, Gina, from the Golden Door. And also, you got to go on a labyrinth, okay? Just say thank you next time, okay?
The first time someone's ever been put into a labyrinth, and the labyrinth was the one that was confused. It was like, the labyrinth Yelp review is like, what the fuck was that? Were those hair extensions? Was it tape? What was that? And what was that accent? Where's that person even from? Don't ever let that person back in. They're like, the Golden Door has shut down. The labyrinth has shut itself down.
The labyrinth went to like a labyrinth cocktail party and told the other labyrinth guys, I'm thinking about just being a straight line. I don't know. It's like, I've always heard that expression about,
it's going to become a freeway. Fuck that.
I always heard that expression about like the living the straight and going the straight and narrow, but I didn't really realize how it applied to me until Gina.
So also, while we're at this line, Gina, kudos to you, Tamara, because I see that you're really trying. What have you seen Tamara do that's an effort at all? Tamara has done nothing. Tamara did nothing but torture Shannon the entire year last year. And this year she's like,
I don't even understand why Shannon's so mad at me.
I know. This is classic Gina. Start of the season, turning on your allies. Because last season, Gina was on Shannon's side. Shannon had a DUI last season, and Gina was like, I'm going to stand by you. I'm realizing you're in a lot of pain. I've been there too. They were sitting on the same sofa together at the reunion. There was everything. And now Gina's like, you know what? The way you stood up to Shannon, I see you're like really trying with that a lot.
Like,
yeah, you're really trying to shame. Yeah, you know, and you're not letting people activate you the way that you were last year. You're so different now.
Gina doing that thing where she has nothing, so she's just going to come start shit with everybody else, which I kind of support. So Gina's like, do you believe that Katie didn't talk to the blogger? And Emily's like, fuck that, she did. But you know what I didn't like? Shannon standing up for Katie. I mean, what the hell? We're not allowed to bully people anymore. What are they changing the whole show?
Yeah. Tamara's like, yeah, she was trying to make it seem like a gang up, but all it was all of us just ganging up on her. But it's not a gang up. Right, bitch? And Gina's like, yeah, it wasn't a gang up. I mean, you were hurting everybody, and now we want to address it with you, and you want to sit there and victimize yourself, says Gina, who's always... First of all, this is exactly what she said about Jen last year. She's like, oh, so you can't pay your rent, so you're going to victimize yourself? And who did she hurt? Who did Katie hurt? She's like, nobody. She hurt all of us. She literally, like, all she did... was she just told the nanny, oh yeah, there's this podcast you can talk to. Like, who the fuck cares? And you're bringing more attention to it now on your show. No one listened. Tell me who listened to a nanny on a random podcast, even if it's not a random podcast. I don't remember what podcast it was, but tell me who really even remembered. Okay.
Well, the Bravo Babe, you're bringing more attention. A good podcast. I think she has like a big thing, you know, but
oh, you're right. It was Bravo Babe. I didn't mean to shade Bravo Babe, but I meant like,
she does a good job.
But I meant just what like, you mean, as like you're far as bringing being, attention like,
they're acting
to
like
it.
It's this private entity that nobody can get a hold of. You know how you can get a hold of Julia Roberts? Go onto fucking Instagram and be like, hey, bitch, I didn't like you in Pretty Woman. And she'll write you back. Go fuck yourself. I know.
Also thirsty.
No, just kidding. But they're acting like, oh, my God, how did you get the number to this blogger? You go onto fucking Instagram. How else do you think Nicki Minaj is telling SZA off right now?
That's exactly what I was going to say.
She doesn't have her home number.
Yeah. I was like, this is just like Nicki Minaj and SZA. But I
you can tell like, I've been thirsty, spending a lot of time scrolling through news on
I'm Reddit. Like, you've been at home. So you know but like Team thirsty SZA, ancillary hangers on thirsty people are always, they know where the outlets are. Like, honestly, she could have never spoken to Katie and she would have found her way to someone like Bravo Babe. And I'm not saying like someone like, I mean, like just anyone, any podcast that's going to talk about this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But also, but like, okay, so this nanny, first of all, no one really cares about what the nanny has to say. Maybe we would have repeated a few lines like, oh, we heard this from a nanny on Crappy Hour. We would have talked about it and laughed, but no one would have like really cared. And Emily's acting like the nanny spread news that like changed America. And it's like, no, like maybe we heard it. Maybe we laughed. Maybe we thought, oh, whatever. But by the way, we didn't need a nanny to tell us that you probably talked shit about Heather Dubrow in front of your kids, because we all know that you did, and we don't even blame you for it. We actually support you for doing that.
Yeah, Heather is an asshole, and whatever you said in front of your kids, Heather probably deserved it. Okay, I don't know what we're all acting like. Oh my God, someone said Heather Dubrow's an asshole. Heather Dubrow is an asshole. We all fucking know Heather Dubrow's an asshole. Heather Dubrow knows Heather Dubrow's an asshole.
She does. So then, okay, so... Anyway, I'm going back to my original point, which is like Gina saying she had all of us. Like, who did she? Okay, so a nanny went on and talked that said that Emily has like talked shit about Heather in front of her kids. The other point was that someone said that Tamara, someone alleged that Tamara was coming up with like fake accounts to talk shit about people or whatever, and then Tamara's
like,
not.
Which she does too. Every housewife does that. You know they do. Janet's not the only one out there with 40, you know, fake accounts.
Yeah. But either way, the point is that, so like the other issue there was that Katie called whoever was who was like being attacked by Tamara over this situation and like was conciliatory to this person, and not conciliatory, but like was consoled them or something like that. It was had a kind conversation.
My brain started leaking with that word. I was like, uh-oh, that word's too big for
me. I don't want to adjudicate this point. But But like, okay, so there was that, like, is that really the biggest crime against humanity? It's like shady. And you could be like, Katie, please don't do that. Don't get involved in my mess or whatever. Okay, so that's two people. How did this become? She's hurt everyone. First of all, I don't see how anyone is hurt by any of these situations. Maybe they were annoyed. Maybe it was a nuisance. But who was actually hurt? I don't know. And as far as if people are hurt, so far I count two people and you were a cast of like seven. So
you guys went on national TV and supported Emily going up there and saying, you're a bad mother and your kids were taken away from you because you're insane and unstable and blah, 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 blah. That is the worst thing anybody can do to another mother. And I cannot believe you all are sitting up here defending that fucking taco in her purse carrying motherfucker over here. I can't believe it. I can't believe it because it's Gina and she's spineless, but still. Yeah. No one hurt you, Gina.
Oh, my God.
Especially.
You know, it's. So Gina does not like that Katie is victimizing herself, says Gina, who's always like, I can't believe that like Jen wasn't paying the rent. You know how that made me look bad as a real estate agent? Like the queen of victimization is Gina. So
now we go to Shannon and Katie meeting on a bench. And Shannon's like, oh, I'm sorry. It just hit you on the chin. I didn't mean to. I can't really feel my face. I got laser and I have to wear a hat. I got laser and I was on my face and I got a facial and I got a massage and I got Botox.
I mean, Shannon is barely moving.
She's really. I decided to treat myself because after everything with Earl the Pearl, I was like, I deserve a facial and a laser. And then
I got an air filter and oil change. I've switched out my kidney. And I've got one eyeball that's electric. Runs on watch batteries.
Woogie, 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 woog. Huh. Yeah. You can do it. It's electric is what the song always said. I didn't realize that you really could do it. So Shannon's like, it's not fun to have things sag. I mean, so if there's a laser that can snap it up, I am going to do it as long as it's perfectly an organic laser and not made with any toxins. But so, you know, it's just neck up because down below, nope. I'm not opening. That is not up for business or open for business until I'm in a relationship. So Earl the Pearl, you can just wait on that one.
So Katie's like, thank you so much for standing up for me and telling the girls to stop bullying me the other day. She's like, oh, I get it. You know, you feel this exhaustion. It's just so hard. You know, there's so many people coming after you and there's just so many people. And someone needed to help you. Someone like me, Shannon Bedore, the most giving person and most understanding person in the world. Shannon Bedore. Don't ever forget that. Especially by the end of this episode.
I want when you get ganged up on, I don't like that. But this is also my way of saying when I get ganged up on, which will probably happen very soon, you better be there for me, bitch.
It would be nice if you made an effort towards me next time.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
Okay.
And Katie is like, well, it's a trauma response because I was married to a psycho. And, you know, if I ever fought back with him, it became worse. And Shannon's just like,
Oh, my God. I wonder if I plugged in my left eye. Why does it use lightning cables instead of USB-C? I just don't understand the technology.
Well, I just, you know, Stephanie, I just think that they're worried that you're calculated or you plan what you're going to say. My name's Katie. I'm pretty sure it's Stephanie. And you're new this season. No, I was here for a whole season prior.
Okay.
No need to gaslight me. I already had enough of that from John Jansen.
Stop ganging up on me. Where's my friend Katie to help me?
Well, I wish I were smart enough to play chess. I mean, I can barely even play checkers. I thought we were here to play chess, actually. Are we not playing chess today?
Please do not play chubby checker. I cannot. It's traumatizing to me. Now, if you want to trigger me, or Fats Domino, I won't stand for that either.
I'll tell you who played checkers is my ex-husband, David Bedore, because he would often go down to the beach and he would check her out, all the sluts. Checkers.
David Bedore, who only gave a cashier at the grocery store, the checker, attention on my birthday. Thank you very much. Sorry, that took me a little while to get out.
By the way, this conversation is working. I'm just getting a little bit of an appetite. Does anyone actually have any chess pie since we're talking about it? No?
No? It was Fats Domino's favorite. No, I have not read his biography.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So then we go to the other girls, and Tamara's like,
she's guilty. Guilty on every count. Katie's guilty. Send her to prison.
And so Katie, then we go back to Katie, and Katie's like, I've apologized 100 times. I'm sorry if I handled it incorrectly. I mean, what else am I supposed to do?
She goes, okay, well, you know, you're saying things like, sorry if, not sorry that. So, you know, you need to say sorry that I, not sorry if I, because no one likes a sorry if I. No one likes, I forgot what we were talking about. Please do not talk about trauma again.
Katie's like, well, I mean, so, okay, I, you know, here, let me try it from the top then. Here's the thing, Shannon.
You're about to say but.
No, okay. I am regretful of everything I did, but well, why would I go? Okay. How about this? I am regretful of that. However, and the however carries across the wind, across the ocean.
An animatronic mannequin starts coming to life. It's like,
Jesus Christ, in the power of Jesus Christ, please raise me.
Leaves are swirling. They're swirling around.
Slade gets out of bed. You see him dusting off a mannequin, and suddenly the mannequin's head pops up and it's scratching.
I have been summoned.
So basically, Shannon's like, just stop saying but, just apologize. And Tamara, and she's like, you know, it's important for me to have compassion for Katie right now because I've been in her situation with multiple people coming at me multiple times. And maybe I just wish that when it happened to me, someone had come to me and said, I know how it feels. It would have been nice for someone to have stood up for me one of the million times.
Yeah. So
Katie's
and also,
like,
I really don't have a choice because Tamara still hates me, and Heather still does what Tamara says, and Emily and Gina are still following whatever those two idiots do, so I basically need a friend. All right, Jennifer, we're friends. We're officially friends.
So then we go back to Tamara, who Tamara at one point was like, here's the thing with Katie Betch. She's a silent assassin. I'm like, we have to stop saying silent assassin. Have you heard of many loud assassins? Assassins are not known for like walking with a boombox like, hey, everyone, I'm going to come kill someone right now. I think the silent is implied.
An extremely accomplished assassin.
It's like you're complimenting her, you know?
So Tamara's like, so are you guys going to go to the Get to Know Katie party? I mean, yeah. I mean, you got to prove yourself to yourself that you're not going to let her get to you. Like, that's. What happened to the Bali and the wind and whatever? Like, aren't you supposed to be on a spiritual journey, Gina? Like, shouldn't you be going to be like, we had this coffee, we settled things at the coffee, allegedly. So you should be going, hoping to turn over a new leaf, not to prove to yourself that you could like hang out with Katie and not get mad. Because by the way, you're going to get mad because that's who you are, Gina.
Well, and I also love that they're just like, wow, Katie, diabolical Katie, inviting everybody to hot pot. What a bitch.
They're just upset it's not Javier's. They like don't, they really have no idea what to do with hot pot. They're like so confused.
They don't. And Katie's like, guys, I'm giving you all chances to make your culturally inappropriate boomer jokes. And I'm not even getting points for this.
Hot pocket. I have one of those in my purse. Oh!
Here's what drives me nuts. First of all, hot pot is not a foreign concept in terms of like, it's not a hard thing to conceptualize. It's not also saying pot is hot pot is not a hard thing to say or remember. So the more they are like hot pocket, am I right? The more they're just like really showing their asshole. Like, it's just like, it's like, look at that silly concept over there. Hot pot sounds like hot pocket. Am I right?
Yeah. So Emily's like, wow, can you imagine the things she's done that we don't even know about? Can you imagine? Emily's still getting herself all worked up over there. So then Tamara goes,
okay, everybody, here's the thing. Last year, Katie was filming Shannon having a full-blown meltdown at our gallery shot, and they were sharing a dressing room. And then, okay, let me explain to you, audience. A gallery shoot is what we do at the end of the season. That's where we take our pictures, and someone airbrushes us and stuff. And then Shannon was being a terrible person. And then Katie got it all on film. And then she sent it to Alexis Bellino. You heard it here first, bitch.
Man, you know, Tamara is so outraged. Hey, remember when we were on tour, when we recapped the Ireland episode and Heather Dubrow secretly filmed Kelly Dodd having a meltdown and they all laughed about it? Ugh. Yeah. Anyway, oh yeah, so it's totally, this is terrible what Katie did. I totally agree.
And Tamara, you're just jealous you weren't holding the phone.
Yeah,
because they're exactly. Also always trying to prove that Shannon's a monster, which at this point I believe. I mean, how many accounts do we need of Shannon just losing her shit backstage and telling everybody off and acting like a diva? I mean, we've had them filmed. My favorite was when she was in Mexico and she was trying to run away and take off her mic, and they're like, Shannon, no, you have to stay. It's like, not there, you. And she's like screaming at the whole cast and crew and everybody. I mean, we know that she's a monster, but you know, Tamara, I would think that you'd be more loving of that videotape because it just gave you evidence.
Here's the thing. I don't think any of us are really questioning like a lot of the veracity of these allegations that everyone's saying. It's more like making us care, because I think at this point we've accepted Shannon is a mess. She becomes very activated. She loses her mind. She's a diva. We accept Katie is messy. She's clunky with her mess too. She leaves a paper trail that's like easily traceable. She's not good with it. She talked to bloggers, quote unquote bloggers. We get it all. But like, you have to actually make us want to feel like those are bad things. If we just accept them. We're like, okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
It's just who they are. Okay.
Yeah. That's kind of why we love you guys. Like you can't try. It's like you're mad at Superman for flying, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I am a little mad at Superman for flying though.
Me too. It's
like walk with the rest of us.
Yeah, okay. It's kind of unfair. Like you're already hot. Isn't that your superpower? You already get everything. You're like a hot, like you're a hot white man who's like well worked out. Like you don't even have to diet or exercise, whatever. And you can fly. Fuck off. I need ugly people to be able to fly.
I think
we need to run fast. We need to get away faster. You know?
I think we all agree, with the exception of Georgia from Next Gen New York City, that Superman is very privileged. So she's like, Superman has worked for everything that he's gone through. So Katie,
Superman's really into bowling, you guys.
So basically that's the Katie, like that they're saying, like Shannon comes in crazy and whatnot. And no one in the audience is surprised. So Tamara goes, Shannon was pissed off that Alexis was there the same time she was. And Shannon started screaming and cussing. And Katie was on her phone with her husband and she hung up without saying anything. I pressed record and showed it to Alexis. And Gina's like, oh, she showed it to Alexis.
Oh my God.
So Katie tells her version. She goes, yeah, Shannon comes in like holding her phone with 600 bags of her hair or 600 bags and her hair up here. It's all out and she's half asleep and she's like screaming into the phone because that's what Shannon does all the time. So you know what? You know, I love Shannon and I love Shannon's emotional breakdowns. But Shannon's a fucking monster. And at some point, someone at your job is going to be making fun of you and taking videos of you acting crazy. I mean, there's a whole subculture, you know, devoted to Karen videos. And I watch them all. Mm-hmm. I love them. So if you're going to act like that, then be prepared to get videotaped, Shannon.
That's my favorite thing is when someone is a total nightmare, no matter what the context is, but they're a nightmare. And then they're horrified that someone would film them. Like there was a line that was crossed. No, you crossed the line when you started treating people like garbage. Yeah. So
and Shannon, Emily, I love you, but I'm not going to take the Karen side. Okay. Cause in those videos, whenever there's like someone, I was just watching a really good one. What's wrong?
No. I was going to say, I love Shannon. I'm not going to take the Karen side. However, I'm not going to stand for this Karen behavior if it's not going to be put on the TV show. Like,
well, that's true.
Put it on the show.
That's true. But I was watching a really good Karen video the other day, and there were actually a few comments that were like, this isn't cool to tape people like this, you know, in public. We need to all stop taping each other. And that's absolutely ridiculous that someone is taping. That's unfair to this lady. Like, she's allowed to have a bad day. No, this lady was not just having a bad day. She was abusing workers at a place, you know, whatever. We've all seen these videos. And I'm not going to take that side. And even for you, Shannon, if you're acting like that and somebody is sitting there, they have the right to videotape your ass. That's it. Don't act like a jackass if you don't want it on the internet. Okay.
And that lady was named Nicole Kidman. There, we said it. So
Why does everybody think
I know Spanish? I don't know Spanish. All right, this is an Australian accent.
Hello, I've been sitting here for 5 hours and no one's even brought me a prosthetic nose yet.
So Tamara's like, yeah, Shannon was just pissed off because Alexis, like, you know, Alexis could use that video against her. And Gina's like, oh my God, active lawsuit? Like, that was an active lawsuit. She got a Honda legally. She got a Honda.
John and Alexis were making accusations that they had videos of Shannon displaying behavior that was not the best. So the last thing you want is someone videotaping you and sending it to the person you're in lawsuit with.
I mean, God forbid there's any sort of video evidence of Shannon being irrational or acting a bit deranged. Thank goodness there's no footage of that whatsoever. And thank God there's not a treasure trove of it going back, I don't know, 10 or 11 years. God, that would be terrible. Be terrible if this is the first, they finally found the footage from Katie's phone. Finally found the footage of Shannon Bedore. The
secret footage of Shannon acting like a fucking nutcase. So Tamara pulls her like,
oh my God, what's Shannon gonna do once she finds this information out that I've been sitting on until we were filming again? Is it something that I need to tell her? It's a good person. I've been going to therapy, you guys. 77 toothpicks. 77 toothpicks.
So Emily's like, no, don't bring it up because it's gonna, the content of the video is gonna get bogged down by saying that you're trying to divide so and so. So don't bring it up whatsoever. And you know, Gina's like, got it. I bring it up on behalf of Tamara, and then I catch all this shit, and then I wonder in the midway through the season why Tamara always gets away with things. Got it.
Got it. So she's like, you know, I just feel bad because, like, I'm the one who brought Katie to the group and now she's acting like this and I feel bad.
Yeah. So Gina, she just feels so embarrassed. Gina, this was already last season. You can't play this card for 2 seasons in a row. Gina, Katie is not the newbie anymore. You can't use this as the excuse for why you're going to go after this girl anymore. Like, that was all of last year's bullshit. New storyline, please, from you. Thank you. So then we go to Shannon's house and she's going to have a wacky scene with Sophie, who's back from New York City. So Sophie's going through the fridge. She's like, Mom, why does it smell like this? Did someone die? What? Did someone die? Now only the embers of my relationship with John Jansen. Oh, God. Thank you, Alexis Bellino.
Give me that pineapple juice. I can smell it. Is it the pineapple juice? Is it? Teresa Jude, I said it was do something to my hoo-ha.
She's like, oh, my God, you were supposed to drink this before December 2024.
I'm on Ozempic.
I can't tell time anymore. I don't know.
Be quiet. I'm trying to lose weight. Oh, well, you.
And did you notice this is such a mother-daughter thing that she does? She goes,
I'm just trying to lose weight, Sophie. Oh, by the way, you've lost weight, Sophie.
She gives this like really tight smile. Mothers who are constantly telling you to lose weight. And then the second you do, they're like, oh, wow.
Thank you for trying to compete with me by losing weight. Good luck with that. I'm bigger, I'm stronger, I always win.
I brought you into this world and I'll take you out. Losing 5 pounds without my permission. Well, I guess that's what you get, because I guess now you're a New Yorker. You're fancy, you're a New Yorker, right? She's
like, no, Mom, you have to be there for 10 years before you're a New Yorker.
Oh, thank God, there's still hope.
So we find out that Sophie has graduated and she works in sports. And she works out every day and she eats healthy, in case you couldn't tell from her healthy lifestyle.
But she also broke up with her boyfriend, which I'm so happy about, because I was really nervous that she was just going to settle down after college and live like a boring life, you know, somewhere.
Well, Sophie was looking like the one that she was like going to get real religious, go settle down on a farm somewhere, just start popping out kids immediately. Right. Like, I think that was the fear, at least for me. I was like, wow, yeah, Sophie. And she did.
But she went to New York City instead. I mean, like, all her kids have fled Orange County and gone to liberal centers. Yes. I don't know if Shannon knows what to do.
I don't know how I feel about this. Okay.
Well, so, Sophie's new hobbies include paying a lot of taxes. Okay. voting for insane things, and I don't even know what they do in New York. I'm flummoxed.
Rats and sodomy. Well, Sophie's choice. I guess she made it. I guess she had to choose between two things that she loves. And I guess I wasn't part of that equation.
Oh, she chose between a city of liberal idiots and her mother. And the liberal idiots won. So
I thought Sophie's choice was supposed to be hard. And you were supposed to not choose the thing that you hated. But that's fine. You did hate that at one point, didn't you?
So, remember? Shannon talks about how she hasn't gone on a date in a year. I guess she's not including any of Love Island or Love Hotel because she went on some dates.
I got a text. people don't realize that I actually had a relationship with a young man named Nicholas, and they called us Nicholas Shannon. And people were really obsessed with us.
I only dated him because I thought he was Captain Sandy. So that was awkward.
He made me many pancakes, which, of course, I could not eat because too many carbs. But I appreciated the sentiment, and I just would throw them down at the beach and hope it would hit a slat. I'm not sure if they did. But anyway, I loved being on Love Island. Then I went to Love Hotel.
Hoping they'd hit a slat, but they did. So.
Okay, so she's like, I have made myself very, very vulnerable.
I even had a anniversary drink for myself to celebrate how strong I became 1 year after my DUI. So
that's nice. That's still the weirdest shit that's happened this year. Shannon toasting herself for her DUI a year before. It's so weird.
And, you know, Love Hotel is coming out. So, you know, I've made a lot of male friends. So if I have an event to go to, I've asked a few of them, will you go with me? And they all said, sorry, I live in Maryland. But I said, well, that's just a small detail. If you really liked me, you would come out here. And then they said no. And so what I did was I painted a little rock and I named it Ace. And now I pretend like I'm in a relationship with someone and we're in a relationship called Chalice. So it's fun. It's fun.
So her kid's like, oh, what does that mean, Mom? Like, you're dating a mailman now?
Well, that'll work.
So then we go to Shane sitting in a car, and he's picking up Emily. And Emily's like, oh, my God, Shane, at least you didn't drive away this time when I was trying to get in like you usually do.
Oh, wow.
That is so Shane. Like, whoops, well, press the gas. Oh, okay, just walk up a little more, honey. I'm just like, just kidding, just hit the gas again. Jane!
Listen, you can't spell snarcasm without car. Am I right?
So
King of
she's
sarcasm.
Like,
honk, honk.
It's like, oh my God, it's so hot in here. I can't believe it. It might be the burrito you're wearing as a purse. Well, that too, but geez, how do I make this thing work? It's like, honey, it's an air vent. They've worked the same for 50 years.
Are you sure about that? Can I put a taco in it?
You know, look. This guy's still an asshole, okay? I don't care what anybody says. He's still an asshole, but I kind of get his point. I mean, Emily is just too much. It's like, oh my God, how do you even make the air work? How is the air work in here? I can't even get these things open.
I know, it's a bit much. Oh, I have an update, which is that on the last Orange County episode, I said something like, I thought Kelly Dodd had said, like, I look funny, more like funny looking. And Kelly Dodd never said that. That was Princess's Long Island. And I just conflated Kelly Dodd saying that because it just seems like something Kelly Dodd would say. But it was actually a quote from Princess Love Island, Princess Long Island.
I'm actually shocked that Kelly Dodd didn't say that because I would guess that in a trivia that I would attribute that to Kelly Dodd.
Yeah, you're funny. Funny looking.
That makes sense. Oh my
God, she called me funny looking. Dad, help me.
So Emily starts talking about Luke, and she's saying that Luke has really declined over the past week because they went to the movies and then he like took out the phone flashlight and was inspecting every fry before he ate it. And then he didn't want to go to school and he was being like really, really difficult, and she had to like get him dressed and she had to do everything. And she's just saying like, you know, it's a struggle. And as a mother, the decline really breaks my heart. And Shane's like, well, I don't know why you keep saying as a mother. I'm a parent too, you know? She's like, yeah, but like, it's easy for you to say it because it's an isolated event. He'll be fine. So,
you know, she's like, okay, fine. Then as a goblin, how do you feel? I mean, Jesus, Shane.
as a king of snarkasm, how do you feel about it?
And basically, he's like, you know, my approach is I just want to make him feel like all of this is normal and he's not like standing out or being weird in any kind of way, you know, and then she just doesn't work like that, you know. And, you know, I'm not here to like mom shame someone and tell someone what they can and how to deal with it. I don't know. I mean, I would imagine that's what she's describing sounds like it would freak me out as a parent too. You know, you're throwing all these hurdles and I don't know the best way to deal with it. So I'm not going to judge what she's doing. I don't love the eating disorder stuff, bringing it up on TV because that kid's got to go to school. Like these people, you know, it's like you're just giving kids ammunition. And I don't know. I don't know where the line is, like what you're allowed to bring up with your kids and what you're not allowed to bring up. But it seems like something like eating disordered stuff should be something that the kids should be able to bring up in their own time if they want to. I don't know that that's... It just makes me uncomfortable with Emily doing that. I don't like it. But, of course, I don't really like Emily either. So this just adds kind of on to that.
I think it's
a
fair point. It's a fair point. Like, for me, I was responding to the idea that there are probably other parents out there that probably are taking great comfort in seeing a similar story on TV. But I also think for the child, yeah, they do have to go to school. And, like children are terrible. And they're
horrible.
And they often have terrible parents. And so their parents would probably be like, well, you know, he has a RFID, and then the kids are going to go taunt him. I don't know. I don't know what's right.
Yeah.
I'm just
like, it's already feeling weird, you know, and so brain. To like put this out there and put this on TV, it just feels gross to me. So, I mean, I kind of get where Shane's coming from as the dad, where he's like, well, like if your kid is going through this extreme emotional stuff, maybe the best thing to do is not to overreact in front of the kid constantly. Like maybe, yeah. But again, I'm not a parent, so I don't really know, but it's making me feel a little queasy with Emily's choice.
Yeah. So then we go to Jen's house and Katie and Matt come over and Katie says, last year, Matt was really hesitant to get to know Ryan because of, you know, all the allegations surrounding the FBI and just seemed so salacious. But now having gotten to know Ryan, there's really nothing to hate about him except, you know, maybe his fashion. That's really rough.
You know, now basically what we know about Ryan is that he knows how to get away with crimes. And that made Matt much more comfortable. So
we're good. So there, Jen's telling everyone about how they're sitting outside and she's like saying how everyone piled on Katie at the Golden Door. And Matt's like, I mean, who are these people that think they can just sit on a moral tower of judgment? Let's roll the clip again of Matt steering clear of Ryan because of the association with the crime.
I think that was too soon to the clip we just saw of you, Matt. Okay.
Yeah. Let's create some separation. Listen, I totally supported him trying to steer clear of Ryan. I'd be like, look, this guy's involved in some. Yeah, there's like an organized criminal over here. I'm going to stay clear. I'm a public person on a very important golf channel. So I don't want to be in the mix with this. I support that 100%. But it is funny because he was sort of morally indignant. And now he's like, who are all these morally indignant people?
Yeah. So then we go to Tamara's house and she's getting renovations done. We had a problem with the sink overflowing. I'm not sure what the hell happened in that house, but it doesn't look like an overflowing sink. I mean, what the hell? The whole place is being excavated. It's like a housewife second season. Like, do my whole thing. Do everything.
Like, is this Lynn Curtin's face? So I was like, I'm stepping on Lynn's nose right now. So Heather comes over. She's like, oh, are you doing construction again? She says that in this judgy way, as if we didn't just sit and watch Heather just like tear a mansion down to its studs almost for fun and now is planning on abandoning it. Oh, really? Construction again? How interesting. Yeah. Is Drake next door? Are you trying to show off for him? No, that's just me. I see.
Drake. So they go sit up in Tamara's bedroom to Kiki. Oh, and Heather also reminds us that she's super cool, Heather, now. I've brought onion rings. Do you remember when people were upset because I wouldn't let Terry eat onion rings at his own barbecue? Well, here they are, onion rings. They're my thing now.
Champs and onion rings, isn't this hilarious, America? I'm like, Heather, you need a new prop. Those are from like your first go around on Orange County. Like just at this point, I don't care. Just find an object, do Mad Libs, find an object and talk about it a lot and make that your new thing because the onion rings and the champs has been played out.
She tries so hard to be iconic every season and it cracks me up. She's like,
And
you know, now I have champs, but I can't leave it on. I can't leave a ring here because you remember last year I spilled espresso martinis. Hold on.
Ha 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 Do you remember when I broke the World Wide Web? That's what they call it. The information superhighway cracked in half after I spilled that martini. So, yeah, because they go up to Tamara's room because Heather's like, no, let's eat dirty. We don't need a plate. Ha 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 ha. I am cool. I am down with the people. So there's a coaster that's there that says, don't stay in my table, douchebag. Oh my God, that is so funny. I love how sincere I am right now saying that this coaster is funny. This is a very funny coaster. Heather hates it. Tacky piece of shit.
So she goes, that's a lot in your mouth. And Tamara's like,
that's a lot in your mouth. Yeah, that's what she said.
Anyways, I hung out with Gretchen the other day.
Oh, God.
And then here we go. A flashback of Heather and Gretchen hugging and Heather saying, oh, my God, we match.
Oh, my God, I have the same dress. I die.
And I just want to remind you that you did not get that role on Hot in Cleveland. That was me. Okay. Just wonder, or was it Malibu Country? Either way, you are not booked and blessed.
Look at us. We have the same looking dress, except the double C's on mine don't wash off. Oh, we were just laughing, me and Gretchen, about, you know, stuff we used to do. You know, all that stuff I used to do with Gretchen. Do you remember? I don't either. Did it involve onion rings?
All those things we used to do. For instance, I would go and hang out with Reba McEntire on her hit show, Malibu Country, while Gretchen would sit there and listen to me and wait and say things like, oh, Aunt Heather, tell me another story about that superstar Reba McEntire that I did not get to work with because I did not land that role.
Wow. We knew each other at one time when she tried to steal my career. And then it had been, what, 12, 14 years? I don't know, something like that. And since then, we've kept in touch.
Way to sell it, Heather.
We have seen each other socially. For instance, when I have run into her as she is buying things at Goodwill and I am donating things. So it's been really wonderful seeing her again.
You know that she'll come get things out of your car. You don't need to take it out yourself. Just open the trunk and she'll get it out herself.
She apparently has been serving the country as part of the Salvation Army. So I'm so proud of her.
I always thought she would be good in the army because she basically blends into anything. She's just two eyes. You could just put her up against a wall.
She looks like a forest owl. And I mean that in the kindest way. Barn owl specifically.
And so Tamara's like,
does she even have a nose?
She goes, yeah, she has a nose.
Because on Instagram, it looks like her nose is blurred.
And then we see pictures of Gretchen on Instagram. And those pictures are hilarious. I mean, she does take off her entire nose. She even does it for her daughter. Her daughter is it's just like a little marshmallow with curly hair on top.
She really needs to lay off the Facetune. If there's anything she takes away from coming back in the public eye, it's lay off the Facetune. It's too much.
Hey everyone, this is the end of part one of this recap. For part two, keep an eye on your podcast feed. It is coming up in just a moment. Thanks so much for listening. Catch you on the second half.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
It's always a party on Allison Block.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
She can run my country. It's Angie McGovern.
It's always automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila. She's a Daniela. Etchels.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie. She has no less namey.
She's our kind of mess. It's Jennifer Messer.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Get a bee in your bonnet with Lacey B.
K Sarah Sarah, whatever will be, will Lauren Silsby.
Bringing the funk, it's Leslie Plunkett.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
We love her on the rocks, it's Melissa Cox.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Livin' with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson. Tastier than Flanderson, it's Rachel Manderson.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V. Can't lose when you're with Amy Baldwin.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Let's go into the woods with Guy Tubbs.
It's our queen, it's Queen Laifa.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall. Hail the cork master, the master of the cork, Jennifer Corcoran.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
Knock, knock, knocking on Katie Manock's door.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Shadley.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
The incredible edible Matthew sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Telefson.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
It's always a good time when you're wasting time with Bravo. She ain't no shrinking Violet Kutar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.